With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Yeah, because I think it made City a lot worse as well. I think the way
wow.
City.
Wow.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. My name's James. Welcome to Planet FPL People's Poll Podcast, where we give Planet FPL Twitter followers the chance to choose a topic of their choosing. I gave three options on Monday for today's podcast, and those were Leeds United's man-to-man tactical system under Marcelo Bielsa. Another option was Thomas Tuchel's wing-back system with Chelsea. And another one was how to fix Manchester United, and that's what you voted for. And with that in mind, we must give big thanks to Gary Robinson, who's back for his second Planet FPL appearance inside a week. Our Manchester United correspondent, Gary, is with us to discuss the best way forward for United. How are you, Gary?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad at all, thanks. We should, at this stage, obviously clarify, we are pre-recording this on Monday evening, and the way news goes at the moment, the situation might be very difficult in terms of your managerial search by the morning. First, though, before we talk about what might be next for United, Gary, how are you feeling about Solskjaer following the weekend?
I'm not ecstatic. I'm glad it's happened. I think we've needed it for, well, I've never been pro Ollie as the manager, so I think it's just relief more than anything. I don't think anyone who's a serious United fan, even as much Ollie out as you could be, I don't think anyone can be that happy about what's happened given the circumstances that's led to it, and what kind of legend he is for the club, and he'll always be a club legend, and the last 2 months, 6 months, however far back you want to frame it, don't detract from that. He's not left. We're not in the relegation zone. We're not in a stupid position. He's just not the man to take us on. And there's no shame in that. There's no shame in not being good enough. And he's tried his best. And some of us have probably thought he was never up to it. Some people thought he might get there. But I think the last 2 months, he's just run out of steam, hasn't he? He's run out of everything, unfortunately. He's had other times where he's rescued probably worse situations than this, but, you know, there's only so many times you can go to the well and do that. And there's only, you know, as soon as Ronaldo came in and Varane came in and Sancho came in and he finished second, he was going to be under huge, huge pressure to really kick on, and not only has he not kicked on, but we've regressed from last season. So just relief more than anything. I'm not happy about it, and I'm not gutted that he's gone either. It's
a difficult one. I mean, I experienced quite similar with, say, Glenn Hoddle at Tottenham a number of years ago. It doesn't affect his legacy going forward or anything like that, mate. It's just a case of that. Needs must, and spot on. I think any United fan truly celebrating, I get the idea of, okay, change is coming, that's a reason to possibly feel positive, but actually celebrating that, it's just okay, let's put that to bed and move on. I get that completely, mate. His legacy is not going to get tarnished or anything like that. He just didn't work as a manager, mate. That's it.
No, the things he did for us, I mean, even if you take the winner against Bayern Munich out of the equation, the rest of his career as a player then would have made him a club legend. The other important goals he scored, the trophies he won for us, the goals against Liverpool in the last minute and four at Notts Forest and that red card at Newcastle and there's loads of little things. You know, he was his top scorer in his first season there, and that spell at the end of Beckham's reign when he played on the right wing for 3 months and we clawed Arsenal back in and won that league. He's got loads of little moments where he'd have been a club legend anyway. Over 100 goals for the club, won whatever he won for us. you put the Champions League goal winner, you know, as on top of all of that, you know. So that was never going to, you know, he would have actually done something incredibly bad to have erased that, you know. And he hasn't, you know, we've finished sixth, third and second under him, and he's run out of steam. We didn't win any trophies, which will probably count, well, does count against him and probably haunt him, and that final in against Villarreal, that'll probably haunt him. But he's not caused the club massive damage. He's just not taken it as far as he should have done. Other managers could have done, I think.
Do you think it's in a better position, the football club? Do you think it's in a better position now than when he started as interim manager?
I genuinely don't know, because I think the squad of players is better.
Definitely.
Than the one he inherited, but we could have inherited that group of players without him anyway. He hasn't, you know, I don't know what, I suppose like with a lot of modern football, you don't really know how much say the manager has on some of the recruitment. And I think some of it was his signings, some of it maybe wasn't. So the squad's definitely better, and I don't know how much credit you give for him for that. The morale around the club after Mourinho was definitely better, but these last few weeks since the Liverpool 5-0, the amount of leaks you've seen coming out, stories, all the papers today, the MEN, the Athletic, some of the stuff that's coming out of there about his methods, and you know, and not, that's all to be expected, but don't make you think that it's massively, the morale's massively different. It does make you wonder how much the next manager's got to do in terms of getting players back on side. We've probably had our most consistent spell since Ferguson left. You know, that was his only achievement, really, that he got us to third, then second. You know, we were comfortable last season in the top four. Season before, it went to the last game, didn't it? But that was only because we drew a few towards the end. It was always in our hands from a long way out. A few cup semi-finals, one final. And I think you'd have to say it's in a slightly better position, but I mean, we're no nearer to winning a title than we were
I agree. In terms of the distance, you're just as far away, because it's not just City now; it's Chelsea and Liverpool as well, right?
Precisely, yeah. And we've never really cut that gap to less than 10. I don't think we've ever finished within 10 of the winner. Now, some of that's because you've got some of the best teams in the world getting 98 points, 100 points and all the rest of it. But, you know, if they can get to 100 points, there's no reason United with that team and that squad couldn't have got to 90, in the 90s as well. There's nothing that would have stopped that. So
the irony is, you were on Clash of the Correspondents last week. We recorded, what, 5 days ago from the time of recording now. And we discussed the fact that it was probably going to be that he was going to stay till the end of the season. But I threw in the caveat of, well, if you get battered at Watford at the weekend, not for a second believing that would, then he had to go, didn't he? If you'd have equalised on Saturday, he'd still have a job now, wouldn't he?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
I agree.
I think it was only the defeat and the manner of it.
Yeah.
You know, an absolute omni-shambles that's caused him to go. But yeah, I mean, you were right. I mean, when you said, if he gets beat on against Watford, and I think I sort of said, well, you know,
I said, if you get battered.
Yeah, I know. And I sort of said, well, we've already been humiliated by City and Liverpool and Leicester in the last few weeks. The time to have done it was, and I couldn't envisage that we were just another one more defeat. Because, I mean, fair enough, 4-1, and it was awful, but it just goes back again. What were they waiting for of the international break? What have they been waiting for the last 2 months? And I said it on the last pod, so I won't go into it too much, but the idea we don't know who we want as our manager now, I just find that astonishing. I cannot for the last... It's one thing to say we want X, Y, and Z, and they're in a job, and we ain't got a chance of getting them. Well, if that's the case, then they're not on your list, are they? You know, because we want Guardiola, don't we? Well, we're never going to get Guardiola. So, you know, there must be a list. And, clearly there isn't a list. They're clearly struggling to think
The Athletic polled United fans about a month ago, asking if they trust trusted the United board to get the decision right in terms of the replacing the manager. 94% of Manchester United fans told The Athletic they did not trust the decision makers to get the decision right anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've got a track record of getting it wrong for various different reasons. They've tried everything, haven't they? Tried every sort of different type of profile of manager you could go for. You could argue the only one that they gave more than enough time to was Solskjaer. Moyes, you know, I mean, I probably say this about all of them, but Moyes to me was never the man for the job anyway. But the idea that you appoint him and then say 6-8 months later, gone. Mourinho, again, always looked an unnatural fit for United. He won us three trophies, I'm going to say it. Second season, he gets us to second place.
One of them a Community Shield, mate. You didn't just do that.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't think it's a trophy, but, you know.
He does, anyway, obviously.
Yeah, precisely. So anyway, so he won us, you know, he won us a European trophy in the League Cup. And then the season after that, we were finished second comfortably. And that was the summer that they needed to back him. They needed to get him the centre-backs, and they didn't. And obviously, you know.
But it unravelled very quickly, didn't it?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, well, you know as well, if you have Mourinho at your club and you don't buy him a centre-back that he wants, or you load him with the likes of Fred and players like that when he's desperate for a centre-back, it will unravel very quickly. And, you know, and then the irony being that the summer after that, we gave Solskjaer £80 million by Harry Maguire.
And you gave him plenty of money this summer as well. Ronaldo, Varane, Jadon Sancho. Obviously, I saw a statistic actually that since he was appointed, you spent more money than anyone, including City and Chelsea.
Yeah, I can believe it. We've consistently just gone with him. And so I think Solskjaer even hinted that in one of his interviews that he's always been backed by the board, but which might go back to my earlier point of who was actually buying those players, because again, for whatever reason, the balance of the team and the squad it just still leaves a lot to be desired. And I can't believe for the life of me Solskjaer would have wanted the team and the squad to look like it did. But I mean, maybe he did. You never know. And obviously Ed Woodward looked like he was on his way out, and now he looks like he might stay for a bit too.
Yeah.
There's
rumours of him staying in like a consultancy role, and I understand that there's someone else who left the club in 2017 who was at the game at the weekend, some board director whose name's escaping me. He's still a consultant as well. It's all a cushy little number between all of them. They're all still mates.
The guy who was there, the guy you mentioned who was left in 2017,
I'd never Dan heard Ashby of. Or?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but apparently he was the only person there from the club. No one else was there on Saturday. But I mean, Woodward apparently is now, apart from being a consultant, apparently he's going to stay on in his current role for a bit longer until we get a new manager found. I mean, he's hired the last four, is it now? Yeah, four.
Going back to Moyes, yeah?
Yeah. And, I mean, I don't know how harsh you want to be. None of them have been a roaring success. I don't want to call them all failures, because some of them won trophies and finished second and third and fourth and all the rest of it. But none of, you know, we're eight, what are we on now from Ferguson?
It's going to be 9 years without a title, isn't it, bottom line? Or a major trophy, which for Manchester United is Premier League or Champions League, let's be honest.
Yeah, and how much money and how many managers, you know. So we're on our fifth full-time manager now.
What do you want the club to do now? Like, what's your expectation in terms of what a Manchester United manager should look like, both in the short term and the long term? Because I mean, literally at the time of recording, we believe an attempt might be happening now to try and push through to get Maurizio Pochettino immediately. But the club have come out and said in their statement where they've sacked Solskjaer that someone will be appointed on an interim basis until the end of the season. That's what they've factually come out and said via their own channels. So someone's going to have the job for 6 months. And I mean, what happens if he does a Solskjaer? What happens if whoever comes in? What if Michael Carrick does the team till the end of the season?
I know,
you finish fourth, win the FA Cup and get to the semi-finals of the Champions League. Does he get the job full time? I understand
another Champions League winner as a player that you just lumbered with. And it's just absolutely, you know. And yeah, I think the Pochettino stuff this afternoon seems to spiral very quickly. He sounds like he's desperate to get out of there. I mean, I don't know what it's like working for Paris Saint-Germain, but the idea that he wants to move out of Paris and stop managing Mbappe and Neymar and Messi to come to United desperately, I can't work that one out at all, really.
I'll tell you why in a second.
Well, you might have more inside information than I have on Pochettino, but I just can't. And the other thing is with Pochettino, the only asterisk he had against his career was that he'd never won any sort of real trophy. Now, this if he can stick it out another 6 months at Paris Saint-Germain, he'll get that monkey off his back, because I don't know how many points clear they are in your league.
He did
now,
win what, the French Cup, I think, didn't he?
Well, yeah, but I mean, if he wins the league title, then no matter what anyone says, you can say, well, look, you know, and they'll go deep in the Champions League, you know, by default, really, won't they? Because
it depends on the draw, I think.
Well, yeah.
If they meet an accomplished team in the last 16, I think they go out, mate.
Well,
they're a bit scattergun at the moment.
Yeah, but, you know, you know, United might not even get through the group, so... I'd you know, obviously it sounds like you might have some whispers here, but I don't know why he wants to leave.
Pochettino wanted to come back to Tottenham in the summer.
Right.
And the reason he wanted to come back wasn't like he's desperate to get out of Paris Saint-Germain, he took the job, but the problem was his family is still in London.
Right.
They're all still here.
Yeah.
And that's why he was, when it came about that it kind of was, because Pochettino and Levy maintained a good relationship and actually have still been speaking all this time. Yeah, he realised Tottenham were looking for a certain type of manager. They basically were looking for Pochettino. Hang on a minute, is he available?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, will you remarkably come back? Yes was the answer. The reason he wanted to come back is because all his family's here.
Mm.
So, I mean, look, Eurostar, Paris to London, okay, it's not that bad, but you are on the same land here, right? You could drive, I think, his son, Maurizio, is on the books at Watford.
Yeah.
So look, you know, Manchester to Watford on a train, you can probably do in like a fast train, hour and a quarter or something like that, if you're lucky, maybe.
Yeah.
Drive it in 2.5 hours or something. Maybe three. I might be pushing that a little bit. But he's going to feel a lot closer to home. So yeah, I do think he wants to come back for family reasons more than anything.
Yeah.
I don't think he particularly wanted the Tottenham job to come back necessarily.
No.
He wanted to come back to his family. And that's why I think, if he can have the United job, he probably would have gone when he was kind of at peak point. And we know there was this flirtatious meeting between Pochettino and Ferguson, I think after Tottenham's Champions League final, I want to say.
Yeah.
And then the kind of credibility went when he obviously lost the job at Tottenham, etc. Of course, he would. I mean, most managers you would think would jump at the Manchester United job. I think it's quite common knowledge that my new manager, Antonio Conte, went to Manchester United a couple of weeks ago and said, I want your job. And basically, United have said to him, we've got no interest in you. So he's gone, I want to do the Premier League again. Okay, I'll take the Tottenham job. That was basically is the story.
Yeah, it seems like it. Because, I mean, that's another one. I mean, I don't quite understand about Conte from the United board. Because I know it can be a bit hard work in terms of, obviously, he fell out the Inter owners, didn't he? And can't remember, did he fall out the Chelsea owners? I can't remember why he left there.
Basically,
he had a decent
if you don't give him what he wants, he'll walk out.
Yeah,
and the same will probably happen at Tottenham at some point.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. So I assume that's it. They probably want a doormat. But, I mean, Pochettino's not, you know, it's not a shrinking violet, is he, Pochettino? I mean, I remember, I'm sure it was the summer he got to Champions League final and he was chipping away at Levy, because I think that was the summer I first come on, and I said then I think we could have got Pochettino out of Spurs then. I know you just got to the final, but I remember around that time his words about Spurs and Levy's ambition and all the rest of it, and I thought then, I wonder if he thinks he's taken Spurs as far as he can, and I bet if we'd gone for it then, and I know Levy's hard to deal with, you know, there'd have been a compensation package and all the rest of it, but I think we would have had the chance to get him out of there then.
He needed a break from football after that final.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, I don't know how much of a success he would have been given, because you were actually pretty average in his last season.
But even
the Champions League season,
it was
the
bad.
League form. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
We lost at Burnley in February.
Yeah.
Was
that the
really
Mike Dean? The Mike Dean argument.
That's
on
correct.
The pitch.
Yeah, the Mike Dean.
From then on, it just seemed to. Yeah, and you were.
Yeah, we were averaging, I think in his last 25 games, we got about 26 points or something. So it was it wasn't just the start of the next season. Actually, even in the Champions League run, the league form tailed off. I mean, I think we could have gone second if we'd won at Christmas, and we ended up like finishing fourth by like a point or something. We finished really badly, and despite being miles clear of it at one stage.
Yeah.
What do you think though? If you heard Samoa Pochettino's in the job, what do you think?
I mean, if we get him in tomorrow, great. The idea that we're going to have Michael Carrick for a few weeks to then get an interim. I mean, I don't know what kind of person's going to take this job until the summer, knowing that they've got somebody else lined up. The only people who are going to do that aren't going to be good enough to do it, are they? So that seems to me just absolutely ridiculous. If we can get Pochettino in tomorrow, I would be happy with that. I do wonder whether the problem United and Pochettino might have, and you probably speak more about this than I can, is that when he was at Spurs, he wasn't an overnight success at Spurs, was it? It took him a long time to get rid of the idiots he didn't want, and it took a long time for that style to... Well, United can't wait another 2 or 3 years. We've just done 2-3 years with Solskjaer waiting. Mourinho had three. Will he, will the board, will the narrative around him, will he be afforded that time to Pochettino that team up, and how much would, you know, how long would that take him? Because, you know, Ronaldo's not going to go anywhere for another year and a half. Doesn't necessarily strike me as a Pochettino type striker in terms of pressing from the front and all that, which, you know, people have been talking about Ronaldo and his pressing all season, so we don't need to go into that. But, you know, would we have been better off with a Conte, just 18 months of possible chaos? But Conte's obsessed with just... Yeah, you look what he did at Chelsea. They didn't... I mean, I don't think they bought massive of players in his first summer. But so he thought, right, well, I'll turn Victor Moses and Alonso into the best wing-backs in the country, and turned them into title winners, didn't he? You know, so I would like Pochettino. I've admired him for years and years, and I wanted him in 2019, and I think we should have gone for him in whenever he lost his job and he was obviously available. I think we should have gone for him then. I do just wonder if the timing might be a bit off for him now, but he's still a good manager. There's no doubting about that. I do wonder if the timing for him would have been in 2019, where he might have been we could have probably afforded another year of trying to get to City and Liverpool. Because if we wait another 2 years, City and Chelsea or Liverpool or somebody else, they might be even further away from us. So, yeah. But if we get him, that it'd be a clear upgrade, and he'd be a better fit than a Brendan Rodgers. Ten Hag, I don't watch enough Dutch football, so I don't want to, you know, I've only seen bits of Ajax in the Champions League.
They're good fun, mate. But it's a big jump up in size of club and stuff.
Yeah, you know, so again, he'd definitely be an upgrade, but does it turn us into title winners overnight? And I mean, I don't even know if that's possible, but we won't be much closer than we are now, I wouldn't have thought.
To clarify my position, the Ajax are a massive football club. I just mean in terms of the pressure of the job.
No,
is what I mean in terms of that jump.
Yeah.
Rodgers, you not keen on, you know, well, what I mean, you know what I've heard, that potentially there's a deal in place for the end of the season, which again fits the narrative of someone short term.
Yeah. I mean, if that's true, I mean, it might explain why Leicester have fallen off a cliff this season, because they look shot as well, apart from when they beat us 4-2, obviously. But,
haven't played Tottenham yet either, mate.
Yeah. I think Brendan Rodgers is a great manager. Not a great, he's a very, very good manager, and he's done a lot of good stuff in his career, and he would be an upgrade on Solskjaer. But the idea that he takes you to the level of City and Liverpool.
But he nearly got Liverpool there, didn't he?
Yeah, nearly.
Nearly.
Nearly. Conceded 50 odd goals.
No, I get that, but he got them closer than anyone else had for 25 years.
Yeah, but was that him or was that Suarez having one of the all-time great Premier League seasons?
Well, I mean, they're the front three with Suarez, Sturridge and Sterling at the time, yeah.
Yeah, and Coutinho would have been there as well, would he? I can't think.
Yes, he would have been, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, he built a great, you know, that Liverpool team were great, but, you know, he didn't get them over the line, did he? And, you know, that's the other thing. I mean, I know he's not...
You missed a massive opportunity there to say he let it slip, mate. You know that.
No, I'm not... I don't want to get Liverpool... I don't want to get any annoyed Liverpool fans. But the other thing that... I know he's not the most famous with being a Liverpool manager anymore after his Celtic trebles and his decent time at Leicester, but... The idea that Man United would appoint someone who managed Liverpool, what?
Is that a sticking 5 point?
5 years ago?
Is that a sticking point that he managed Liverpool?
Well, it doesn't.
Is that a problem?
It doesn't seem to be, but I don't know why it isn't, because I can't quite marry that. Oh, but maybe it wouldn't be until it happened. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's because because he didn't win anything with Liverpool. Maybe because he's not, you know, it was like a Rafa Benitez thing with Chelsea and Liverpool and Everton and Liverpool, where, well, this is a guy who actually won stuff for Liverpool and knocked us out of trophies and all that. Maybe that's the difference with Rodgers, that I don't suppose either of us were that great at the time. So maybe there's just not that animosity towards him.
I think that deal is in place for Rodgers. It doesn't mean it will be Rodgers, but I think there is an agreement in place. And obviously, if you can get someone like Pochettino, who we know Ferguson obviously admires and obviously still holds influence at United, then I think, you'll go and get him. Otherwise, if you don't get who you want between now and next May, then I think it would end up being Brendan Rodgers.
Yeah, I find that astonishing.
But as far as I'm concerned, and I treat this as a neutral perspective, I look at it and go, you're Manchester United, mate. You should be able to have whoever you want.
Yeah,
but Guardiola, Klopp, and a couple of others are obviously off limits. Yeah, other than that, you get who you want, right? Basically, is how it works.
We should be looking at that, and the idea that, you know, and if you can't get people out of their job at the minute, I completely understand that. But the idea that we've had this for years. They must have known for years that at some point Solskjaer was probably going to have to leave, because he was always going to have a ceiling, which is... He definitely reached, obviously. They must have thought, right.
Supposedly, Woodward's been obsessed with the fact that, obviously, Martin Edwards obviously gave Ferguson so much time originally, and that's how it should be done. But that was 30 years later, mate. The game's changed.
I was about five months old when we appointed Alex Ferguson. The games, and it's not been like that for, even when there was only Ferguson and Wenger who stayed there. That's for 20 odd years. Nobody else. Chelsea under Abramovich have probably had what? I bet they've not had a manager there for more than 3 years, have they? And yet they've won every trophy in sight. They've won as many Champions Leagues as United.
I think Mourinho, what, 2.5 years is about it, isn't it? I'm struggling to think since Abramovich coming.
Yeah, but nobody else has done longer than him. And yet they've still won since Abramovich went. I don't know the maths off the top of my head, but I bet they've won as many league titles as anyone, I would have thought. Maybe United have just sneaked it by one, maybe. They've won two Champions Leagues, which nobody else has got close to. Well, nobody else has got two, have they, since Abramovich went there in England.
Now you have upset the Liverpool fans, mate.
Oh, no, not since... when did Abramovich go? 2004. They've got two then, yeah. So, yeah, because I forgot that one.
The miracle, yeah.
The timing of it, yeah. Was that the one where Steven Gerrard died, wasn't it? That was that one.
That's the one, mate. Yeah,
that method of... We're not interested if he's been here 2.5 years. We're sacking Mourinho. Ancelotti, 100 goals or 100 foul goals or whatever, cup, league, season after, second in the league, Champions League quarterfinals, gone, not interested. Di Matteo won him the first ever Champions League 6 months later, gone. That's how it works now, unfortunately. Now, I'm not saying you get rid of someone after 6 months, but the idea that we're looking for the next Alex Ferguson, who is that style of management,
it's impossible to find.
If
you're trying to replicate that, it just can't happen anyway. It's impossible.
And, you know, and even, I mean, I say Wenger there, the last, 10 years of Wenger's reign was probably...
Until he went and then they missed him.
Well, yeah. But, you know, so even he, Wenger's actual time of winning top-level trophies was only about his first 5 years, wasn't it?
In all honesty, yes.
98-2004, yeah. that was all his league titles gone then. He didn't win anything after that apart from an FA Cup or four or whatever it was. Yeah, so I mean, if that's Woodward's, that actually annoys me more than if Woodward just genuinely thought Solskjaer. I'd rather he said, I actually thought Solskjaer was the best we could get. The idea that he was hanging on to him because Martin Edwards gave Ferguson time. And Ferguson had a track record of success. Alex Ferguson's pre-Man United career was up there with any manager who's ever managed anywhere. He'd taken Aberdeen to three league titles and a European trophy. That by itself would have left him as one of the greatest managers of all time. So the idea that, give Solskjaer more time because Ferguson needed 2 or 3 years to, you know, Ferguson didn't get this long into his job before he won his first trophy anyway, did he? I don't think. It won't be far off.
And Solskjaer hasn't won anything, has he?
No, and he's been there since 2018.
I saw a comment, he said that Mulder won the title after he left twice.
I know, yeah. I mean, that's what an odd thing to say.
Before we finish off, Gary, I want to. Part of the reason for doing this is that, like, what do you want to see happen now? So I kind of just want to break this very briefly into two parts. Yeah. What do you want on Sunday? Because Chelsea away, extremely difficult fixture. They're one of the best teams on the planet at the moment. We know historically that Solskjaer actually, until this season, had done quite well in some of these big games. So you had 0-0 at Stamford Bridge last year. I think home and away, you won at the Etihad 2-0 last season. And this was more often than not in a back five.
Yeah.
Is that what you want to see? If we assume Michael Carrick's doing the team on Sunday at the moment, is that what you want to see? Or do you want to see something different?
Well, I mean, I think this week's a very odd week because we need a result tomorrow because otherwise we're going to be struggling in the Champions
League. Of course, Villarreal,
So we need something tomorrow, otherwise we might be at the mercy of Atalanta and goal difference and all stuff like that. And then, Sunday, I mean, Chelsea are, they're a different gravy compared to us at the minute. But how we play this week can't be how we play for the rest of the season. I don't think we can play a back five on Sunday. There'll be no Maguire, there'll be no Varane. I mean,
could he play Shaw and Wan-Bissaka as wide centre halves?
Well,
Tellez and Dalot? Is that ridiculous?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't fancy going to Stamford Bridge playing what? So you've got Shaw, Wan-Bissaka, Lindelof, Tellez, and
Dalot.
All
right, your face said enough for the benefit.
I don't know. I mean, Wan-Bissaka's never played in a central defensive role for us. I don't think Shaw's done it a few times, but I don't think so. I think
is Bailly unfit? Is he available?
No, he'd be available. I think.
That's a more obvious one, then, isn't it? Bailly, Lindelof, Shaw, Tellez, and Wan-Bissaka.
Whether we try and resurrect Phil Jones's career, I don't know. But
I heard, am I right in saying Phil Jones has travelled to Villarreal? But I think Samuel Luckhurst reported it. He's travelled to Villarreal, but he's ineligible and he can't play anyway.
Yeah, apparently he's travelled, but he's definitely not in the Champions League squad that you name at the start of the season. So whether he's just gone for training and to keep ticking over with the team
He's going to get involved, maybe.
Well, if there's no Maguire and there's no Varane Sunday, he must be at least third choice centre half. So I guess that he must. I'm hoping that's it. I won't put it past us that he starts tomorrow.
Yeah, but as
6-point deduction or something and a fine.
As you said, like he can't. They're not going to go and kind of train and do a system with Phil Jones in it when he can't play at Villarreal anyway.
No,
for example. So
no, it must just be to. For morale or is, I don't know. But I think, I think it'll have to be back four on Sunday, but I don't know. I mean, the other worry is that by all accounts, Solskjaer wasn't massively on the tactical side of it anyway. So it makes you wonder if Carrick's part of the problem anyway, quite why we're keeping him on and McKenna and Phelan. You know, it doesn't seem to be a lot of joined up thinking there. But I think longer term, we the idea of a back five, we've got to try and find a way of playing football in midfield, and they're going to have to play Van der Beek at some point. They're going to have to give him a proper run, and they're going to have to accept that he might not be unbelievable for the first two or three games because he's not played any football. But they're going to have to, at some point, play him in midfield or trust Pogba in midfield and try and play some football in midfield. And they're going to have to try and get Sancho integrated because Sancho can play 1-2s and he can create from that wide role. At the minute, it's there's just no joined up thinking. And Ronaldo, I think, might, I don't know if he's the problem, but if you buy a player like Ronaldo, knowing that he's going to guarantee you 30 goals, that's fine. But he does detract from the other things, and he detracts from the way we have played for the last two or three years. And it seems that he needs a Cavani with him to be at his best, or maybe a Lingard. Or
but then that works.
But then we can't get Cavani unless you play back five. You can't play back, you know, it doesn't all add up, does it?
If you look at the recent fixtures, obviously Leicester was disastrous, Liverpool disastrous, City disastrous, Watford disastrous. In between, there was a game against my team where Varane and Cavani both played and you won 3-0. Is it as simple as that?
Well, possibly.
And obviously you did play back three that day as well.
Yeah, we did. But I mean, so I think you can play back three if you've got Varane, because then you can go Varane, Maguire, Lindelof. And then you've got three decent centre-halves there. But what it does by doing that is, fair enough, it gets Cavani in the team, but you then have to drop pretty much
all the other attacking players,
all the wingers, all the wide forwards we've got. Well, I mean, that's not sustainable, is it? For team morale, for the money we spent on them, for loads of different things. And I'm not saying you've got to pander to everyone, but you can't have a team with Martial, Rashford, Lingard, Greenwood, and Sancho all on the bench every week. You can't.
I agree.
You know, and Cavani can't play every week. I think, was it Roy Keane who said the other week, he loves a niggle, and that just sums him up. He's not fit every week. So then what do you do? Because none of the other players
huge fan of Edison Cavani as a footballer. Yeah, actually. He's a brilliant player. But it does seem bizarre that United gave him a new contract. I mean, it just adds to the idea that there was never any intention to buy Cristiano Ronaldo. It was we can't let him go to City. He's basically out of
field. I think the Cavani thing was, I think the idea, I assume, would have been that maybe Martial probably on his way out at some point, and the idea was that at some point Greenwood or a Rashford, probably a Greenwood, would go through the middle, but he's only young, learning his trade, rah, rah, rah. So we need a Cavani, cheap.
Good experience. Already on the books
and all that. But then, like you say, if you're going to do that, what was the point of bringing Ronaldo in? Now, obviously, like you say, could we have let him go to City? You know, and he probably guarantees 35 goals this season, maybe. But
do you wish you had let him go to City?
Yeah, because I think he'd have made City a lot worse as well. I think the way City played this season with that really fluid front three of, you know, with Bernardo dipping in, or a Grealish or a Foden or whatever, and it'd have been unbelievable. It'd been really interesting as a, well, not as a neutral, but it would have been interesting to see how Guardiola would have fitted Ronaldo in there, because you look at how Ronaldo's played this season for United. Well, how would he have played in a Man City front three? I can't.
He would have just stayed between the posts, wouldn't he?
Yeah, but then the knock-on effect of how City have played this season with that really fluid front three, four, five they've had.
But they would have had to change and play differently, wouldn't they?
But then would that have been? I think that'd have been to their detriment, because I think they've been unbelievable this season, and I think Foden's having a great season. Cancelo, Bernardo Silva looks back to his best, and if De Bruyne gets fit, or not fit, but you know what I mean, up to speed, and he's had a pretty poor season by his standards, you know. So I don't know where Ronaldo would have fitted in. They would have created chances for him, and he would have got 30, 40 goals. But you know, what would that have done to Foden and Bernardo, and you know, and we'll never know. And Guardiola's obviously a lot more accomplished manager than Solskjaer, so he might have had something in mind for it, and you know, but
he's obviously still one of the best goal. Even now, he's still one of the best finishers on the planet, no doubt about it. But watching the game at the weekend, you can't help but have the thing you're not quite the, you know, he can't go and beat a man on the outside like he used to and do 99 lollipops and all the tricks, and the ability is still there, but the legs probably can't quite do what the mind wants to do, right? And he's one of the greatest players ever. There's no doubt about it. And it's still, if you give him service, I mean, we've seen that, particularly in some of the Champions League games this year, like finishing the goal against Atalanta, for example, the equaliser. Yeah. The headed goal, I think I want to say, in a reverse game against Atalanta as well. I mean, massive goals which have kept you in the competition. So it's not a United doesn't work with Ronaldo. I think what it unfortunately is you've got a brilliant commodity that you've got to use.
Yeah.
You've now got to find a way of how to play properly that gets the best out of him. And at the moment, you're not. So I'd suggested that in one or two games, it might be a sensible idea. I'd think like even Chelsea at the weekend, like go with three fast forwards on the break. Go like, you know, Martial, Rashford, Sancho, or some alternative to, right, well, we can't go too high against them. They're going to come and have us on the counter, where that's not really an option at the moment. So, I mean, that those fixtures you've got after Chelsea's Arsenal away, and then from Crystal Palace in game week 15 to Watford in game week 27, you only play one team from last year's top seven, and that is West Ham at home in game week 23. It's one of the most phenomenal fixture runs I've ever seen in the Premier League. So you're going to be going as Manchester United into nearly all of them games with the expectancy that you should be winning a game of football. And you've got this superstar striker as part of it. How do you want to see the team with what you've got now? How would you want to see the team set up? What would be your ideal starting lineup and system?
I think what we've got to do, which is what Solskjaer said he was going to do at the start of the season, is we've got to, and even if it takes a couple of games to get used to it, we've got to get rid of this obsession of playing with both or with two holding midfielders. We just, especially in that run, we can't sustain a title campaign or a top four run now or a serious Champions League tilt or whatever, playing those every single week. We've got to find a way of playing just one of them. So let's just say McTominay for argument's sake, with Van der Beek and Fernandes, or with Pogba and Fernandes, or whatever the rotation is. We cannot, that's the biggest thing we've got to do, I think, because if we can do that and get some control in the middle of the midfield and keep the ball, and if we can get Sancho integrated and playing his 1-2s and all these little things, and then a Rashford or a Greenwood or whatever, then I think we wouldn't have the idea that we wouldn't need Ronaldo to press all the time, because we'd have more of the ball. And, you know, I don't know. We just got to find a way of doing it. And I said at the start of the season, I don't think Solskjaer will dare do it. And he didn't really. He just obsessed with it. And I understand why, because you've had some good results playing that way, but it does limit you at the top level, where you've got, but you just, some of these matches that we get stuck in these silly games where we lose at home, or we grind out when we should have just be 3-0 up at half time and bringing players off. And that's when you can rest Ronaldo. That's when you can play Chizigo and said, right, you've got your goal, Ronaldo. I need you for Wednesday now. But because of how we've been in, I think Ronaldo's played pretty much every minute since he came, apart from the Everton game.
Yeah.
I mean, I know how good he's been and how good he is now, but he's 36, you know, it's just not sustainable. We've got to find a way of playing with two proper footballers in midfield. And Pogba sounds like he might be on his way out again, so God knows what's happening there. But
been going on for years, hasn't it?
I know, but
it's been going on longer than Solskjaer's tenure, to be honest.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah, we've got to find a way of getting Van der Beek and a Pogba and a Fernandes, two of that three at least.
If you played a 4-1-4-1, and I agree with you, I think the best for the one would be McTominay, because he can get around the pitch. I imagine one benefit of Carrick is Carrick was gold in terms of actually playing that system on his own. Admittedly, we're going back to kind of more like 4-4-2 days here, basically.
Yeah, yeah. But
he'd have a partner with, say, like Paul Scholes, who would definitely play further up the pitch than him.
Yeah.
Carrick was adept at kind of picking passes and playing lines and wouldn't go and press the ball as much, right? He was brilliant defensive cover and shield, Michael.
Yeah, he was interceptor, wasn't he? He was unbelievable.
Brilliant game reader. So underrated. Now, if he can hone McTominay into that and say, look, stop, let other people do it, protect, then the fullbacks can go and squeeze better, and there's things you can do in the shape. But I agree with you. I think McTominay, and Pogba's out at the moment, but Van der Beek and Bruno in front, yeah. and then two wide players, and they don't have to be higher. I'm thinking like kind of 4-1-4-1 a little bit like Leeds, and we're not saying go and press like Leeds and stuff or move about like Leeds. That's a different ball game. But suddenly you go Rashford left, Sancho right, as an example, and that can change and rotate.
Yeah.
And then Ronaldo. Let Ronaldo do his thing up there and not have... Because I think like that, if you have a four pressing behind Ronaldo, you don't need Ronaldo to go and do a press. The one thing I don't buy into is... and I hear this a lot. Kane doesn't press anymore. Right? Kane's... what, 8-9 years younger than... I'm exaggerating now. He's 6 years younger than Ronaldo, I think, maybe seven. Kane doesn't press anymore. Kane's not been pressing since he was about 24.
No.
And yet Tottenham under Pochettino have still been able to have people like Eriksen or Lamella, or people who would instigate a press.
Yeah.
I don't believe people like Marcus Rashford can't be that player who goes and instigates a press. Or Bruno Fernandes, in defensive phases, you go into like a 4-4-2 and Bruno goes alongside Ronaldo and Van der Beek sits deeper. And then Bruno could, because Bruno, I've said this on a few of the pods, I think he goes into business by himself. He's like, no one else is doing it. I'm going to go and do it because there's no tactical instruction. But then Bruno can be the one who can break from midfield and go and instigate the press and everyone follows it. The major problem you've had is when people like Bruno go and do it, no one else is doing it. And then,
as particularly
seen in the Liverpool game. And then, because of the Liverpool game, in the City game, you were frightened of your own shadows. It was like, well, no one's going to go for the ball now.
Yeah.
Because they're even better in terms of recycling and keeping the ball.
Yeah.
So I think I don't buy into the idea, excuse me, that the current Manchester United can't go and press. I don't buy that at all. I think it can be coached in. The major concern I'd have right now is, if that coaching team, which is essentially is exactly the same bowl that Solskjaer had, and we're not actually even sure how much influence Solskjaer had, nothing's going to change in the immediate, is it?
I don't think so. I think basically we've sat the figurehead, really. We've sat the guy, the face of it.
He had to go and they couldn't get rid of all of them with the game on Tuesday, I'm guess.
Well, I know, but I mean... that just shows what a mess it is all around, doesn't it? Because I don't think anything will change in the short term. I think you've got the guys you've been coaching for the last 2-3 seasons still there. So nothing will change in the short term unless they all just decide to do something completely different. But if they do, the question would be, well, why didn't you do that earlier on this season or middle of last season when it looked like we had a title run going and we needed to be a bit more on the front foot and just swatting teams away instead of grinding out silly draws at home.
If this sticks and Carrick has the job to the end of the season, which I've also heard some reports that because of the badges he's got, he may not even be allowed to actually. But if you have that or someone come in interim, like a Steve Bruce or a Mark Hughes, another club legend or something.
Get Keane and Neville in as a duo.
I mean, jokes aside, I mean, listen, Roy Keane, I guess, interim, he'd knock some sense into him, I suppose, probably, wouldn't he?
Well, I don't think Ferguson would allow that, would he? Could
you finish top four? Under what it is now. I mean, you obviously can. Do you think you will?
No, we can't. We look, there's only one spot available in the top four. Let's be honest about it. The top three are going to... It might want to...
Unless one of them has an implosion like Liverpool did last year,
or one of them can't cope with the Champions League run or something like that, which I can't really see given the squads they've got. But, you know, we could be looking at now, the team who finishes third this season could be the greatest third place finisher of all time.
Yeah.
So the top three is done. We can't finish fourth unless we can get a Pochettino in tomorrow or not tomorrow, but this week or, you know, a Ten Hag or Zidane or whoever. We aren't finishing fourth with Michael Carrick and Mike Phelan running it for the rest of the season because the players won't respond to that. Then, you know, if these players were so anti-Solskjaer and his tactics and his philosophy and etc. Well, these guys must have been part of that problem, if not more so, because they're the guys doing the coaching and the tactics. So they can't get us to fourth. And even if they could turn it round within the club, look at the teams that, you know, you've got West Ham who are flying, you've got Arsenal who look to be picking up some sort of form Saturday, notwithstanding. Conte, Spurs under Conte, if Son and Kane start scoring, which, you know, you're not telling me Kane's... I mean, if Kane only gets 15...
Don't get me started, Gary.
No, but let's just say realistically, like, even if we assume now that Kane's probably going to have his worst ever goals return, but even if he only gets to 15 league goals, well, that means he's got 14 to come in the next 20-odd, doesn't it? So him and Son, if they get on a roll with Conte in charge, I mean... You know, Spurs must fancy top four. They must, you know, all these teams must fancy top four because
it's only because of you that West Ham.
Yeah.
I mean, West Ham are doing their own thing and doing very well at the moment, in fairness. And Arsenal, you're quite right to say, have had a very good run, although in fixtures they probably would have expected to do very well in.
No, of course. Yeah.
Tottenham have only got a chance because of the potential incoming uplift of the manager. But yeah, I think those three London clubs. And maybe, I don't know, if Wolves can make a push, although they've got a very difficult fixture run coming from game week 15, for example. Leicester, it doesn't look like it's on this year.
They're shot.
But those clubs only feel like they've got a chance because of you. Because when we all sat here in pre-season, we all went, well, top four will be top four, and that's the end of it. Like Arsenal and Tottenham and West Ham will be too far adrift.
Yeah. So. Yeah, Gary, no, I don't think it'll happen, but we'll see.
Pleasure, mate. Do you think you'll get a result in Spain on Tuesday?
No.
Gary's face, for the benefit of those on the audio, was going for some sort of gurning competition there.
Yeah, it was a Phil Jones special, that. No,
Sunday at Chelsea?
Possibly. But probably not realistically. I think we'll probably a narrow defeat, unfortunately. I think their wing-backs and their midfield will be too much for us on a short-term turnaround.
It would have to be, unless there's some sort of tactical plan that can be implemented that we haven't seen. I think you're right, Gary. A 4-1-4-1, not necessarily for these next two games, but when that good run of fixtures comes round, it's got to be looking 3 points week after week after week, right? I mean, in theory, Gary, if you won all of them games between 15 and 27, you'd be in a title race, mate.
Well, yeah, but...
And we'll end the podcast, yeah? Gary, pleasure. Thank you so much for giving up your time at massive short notice. I'd messaged Gary about 4 hours ago and he went, yeah, great, cracking, let's do it. Well done, mate. Where can everyone follow you on Twitter, mate?
That is my cat playing.
Brilliant. Top man. Sky Fantasy Football for everyone tomorrow. Thursday's Clash of Correspondents, Arsenal, Newcastle with 3-5-0 and FPL footballer. Gary, I wish you luck, particularly obviously in the Champions League tie Tuesday, and I just hope you finish one place below Tottenham this season. But I wish you well, mate. I'm not holding my breath, put it out.
Yeah. Luck, we'll finish friend. 11th, you have 10.
It's probably the more likely than fourth and fifth, isn't it?
Yeah,
let's be honest.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Thanks so much.
All right. Cheers.
Cue music, please, man. Show.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Social Podcast Network.